started our recording here. And once again, our scripture reading, I didn't even post it this morning, Jennifer, so forgive me for that. I'm going to begin with Matthew 24. Let's start at verse 1, okay? Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to the buildings. "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the age and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famine and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of the birth pangs. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of the wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as the testimony to all nations. And then the end will come." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Most all of us probably, if we've watched any news of late, have become aware of a sandstorm that began in the Sahara that has now been titled Godzilla. One of the largest sandstorms to ever touch the face of the earth. I read this morning that it's some 3,500 or more miles wide in width. And then if you think about not only just the width, the height, the thickness of the storm is over 2 miles and it's traveled 5,000 miles. And now I think we're seeing remnants just outside our window. As Manya and I were having coffee outside this morning, she says it's supposed to rain. And then we thought further and said, maybe Godzilla has creeped up on us. But you know, I've heard also reports that even though there's much to be fearful of in this sandstorm, as it's placed a haze over our land, in some ways a darkness, it's made it harder for those to breathe who have lung problems, and certainly a challenge for any with COVID-related symptoms. But there's also been a brightness, a sign of hope, and beauty as a result of the sandstorm, some of the most lovely sunsets that many eyes have ever seen. You know, I found that example one more reminder of God continuing to work when there is darkness in our world, when there is a haze, a covering, a blanket over what we would like to be the more preferred existence, full of life and joy. Even in the midst of darkness, friends, I'm reminded, even through that storm, as beautiful sunsets proclaim that God works for good, even in bad, our God, dear friends, I believe now more than ever, and I am reminded and needed to grasp hold of that word this morning, that our God is still present in this current darkness we're going through. As a nation and as a state, as people of differing races, many of those are feeling less love and, quite honestly, more hate for the other. We are living in a time of a cloud of darkness. As we find the tension most recently in our specific state regarding the flag debate. I've made my personal feelings known, and I'm quite aware that there's people that I pastor and people that I dearly love who see that situation quite differently. That doesn't mean I'm right and they're wrong. It doesn't mean that I love them any less, and I pray that they don't love me any less. And I know for certain it doesn't mean God loves them any less. But what I'm reminded of, even when we disagree over positions and opinions, one thing we are united in is God's love for each and every one of us. And as I heard in this text today, I am reminded, I find hope, and I pray that you do, that just as Jesus was ending his earthly ministry here at the end of Matthew, he spoke and he shared how there's going to be seasons and times of war and famine, times of hate that we heard him speak of in our text today, times when people turn from the love of one another when their disagreement is so intense. But even in the midst of those seasons, friends, I'm reminded they too will pass because God's love and life is eternal. You know, my father sent me a text this morning. I want to share that with y'all. He sent me a little note just as he was walking into church at Mount Zion, my home church. And he knew that I've been quite troubled with the dissension and pain in our state, in our communities. And he wrote me, said, "This too shall pass. Just want you to know I love you. She loves you. Your family loves you. And most important, God loves you." Friends, I'm finding those words quite prophetic today, that this too shall pass. We are in the middle of a sandstorm, a cloud of darkness, but friends, this will not last in our state, in our nation. So may we have hope and encouragement and trust in God to strengthen us and comfort us even as we're in the storm, and know that he will see us through it. You know, I'm grateful for this message by Jesus today, where he reminds us that love wins, that life is eternal, and the response and the benefit, and yes, let's just call it the reward, of walking in his love, no matter what we face, is the joy of our salvation. Some people call that sanctification. It's growing in God's grace. It's choosing not to let hate plague us, even as we're living in hateful times, but we choose love. Now listen, I want to end. This is not going to be a long message. I want to end today by saying this. I'm not preaching at you this morning. I'm not preaching to you so much as I'm sharing in this message with you. The final commitment that I've chosen to make during this time of darkness right now, I want to reflect upon the end of Matthew 25. Right after this message, at the end of this last teaching of Jesus to his disciples, here's what he said in Matthew 25. Even as he had said, we're going to face trying times. We're going to face persecution. We're going to face hate and dissension and disagreement in our world. But here's what I choose, my dear friends and fellow believers today. I choose to embrace his calling that he offered in Matthew 25. When he said at the end, when I come, Here is what I'll say to the faithful. Come to me, you who are faithful. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me in. I was sick, you took care of me. I was imprisoned, and you came to visit me. The faithful ask, at the end of time, God, when did I do that? And our Lord proclaims with love and pride for us as his children, when you did that to the least of your brothers, you did it unto me. So friends, in this time of challenge, in this time where love is lost for many, where hate and anger and resentment is fuming over, what I personally choose, not preaching at you, what I personally choose is to strive in every way to embody that call of Christ, to love those, to feed those, to care for those around me, so that they too may know God's love, and in loving them, I'm actually loving our Lord. May you have hope this day. May you have comfort in knowing that this season will pass and God's reign will be eternal and joyful forever. Amen. Let's pray for each other today. As you continue to post prayer concerns and needs this day, I'm going to begin by offering a prayer for certainly our nation, our churches, and then more specifically the immediate prayer concerns. So lift those up, and the Holy Spirit will receive those even as we. I may not mention them by name, but as you mentioned them in writing there. Let's pray together. God, we bow in your presence, mindful of your word in 2 Chronicles, where you tell us, if my people, and God, we are your people because of your grace, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, will turn from their wicked ways, will seek my face, then I will hear from heaven. I will deliver them from their sin, and I will heal their land. God, we confess today there's wickedness in all of us. There's sinfulness. We're imperfect. We need to turn from our individual sins, and as a nation, we need to turn back to you. God, will you forgive us? Will you restore us? Will you knit us and mold us more in your image? And as we humbly seek you to restore our land, our nation, our relationships among various peoples and those from whom we disagree, even our very family that we cherish and love, may you bring healing as we seek your face and love others, knowing we're loving you. We pray for our nation. We ask for healing in our land. We are still a great nation because of your grace, and not because we're so perfect, but because we trust in you, God. May we be ambassadors of hope in this broken world that we live in. We pray for our state. We are proud Mississippians, not because we're perfect. We are hospitable. We want to embrace others with love. We ask for healing in our state, even as there is division and differing opinions this day. We pray for your church, for all congregations that share your love, that are witnesses of your hope in our world, that are proclaimers of salvation that is found only in you, Christ. Will you bring healing, even through this cloud of darkness, through your word, as you draw people back to you? Will you be with the rich and the powerful, those who have the capacity to influence? We will be with the poor and the sick and the hopeless and the hurting. We lift up every person that we've mentioned today, the names that continue to go onto the screen. We pray for friends and family, for those who are sick and dying and grieving. Would you, O God, bring miracles of grace into their life beyond what we can understand and even ask for? If our desires, our wants can be in accordance with your holy need for their life and your good pleasure, God, would you open the floodgates of heaven, bring restoration to our loved ones? We pray now for each and every one of us individually. Every person listening here, we're praying for them, and they're all praying for us. Whether the needs that we have be physical, spiritual, mental, or emotional, perhaps relational, will you bring healing and wholeness and restoration? Will you be with not only those that we're closest to, but those from whom we're estranged right now? That's prevalent in our land. We pray for even our enemies. Help us to love, God. Help us to be your hands and feet to our world. And now, Lord, as your children, as your brothers and sisters, we join our voices as one, and we say together the words you taught us in prayer, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance, his gaze upon you, and give you peace, now and forever. Amen.